Yeah, that's totally Reggie.
Yeah, right? People are like, we don't know who it is. I'm like, no, that's Reggie.
He's a giant person.
He's a big hands and a giant dude. Yeah. Who else would it be? It's not freaking Iwata.
Rise from your grave.
Hello and welcome to Indestructible Art, episode 186, a weekly podcast about video games and comic books. My name is Evan Campbell. I'm here with Omar DeArmas.
What's up?
And we're doing this raw, man. We're getting through it quick.
Do it quick.
You and I were camping in Zion for the weekend.
We touched the sky.
We did touch the sky. Quite literally. It almost fell off some cliffs.
Almost fell off some cliffs, into some water, under some snow.
Yeah.
In front of some buffalo.
Yeah, there was buffalo.
Bison.
And then we came back and I watched you play Netrunner yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Netrunner's a fun game.
Yeah, it looks rad. I absorbed a lot of information.
Yeah, there is a lot of information. And then you think you know how to play,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets twice as complicated when you actually start playing.
There's like heaps, and you're a hacker, and you make runs, and there's servers, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Every card has like special text on it that like negates one of the rules.
You pay for stuff with credits, which is definitely a space currency or cyber currency. There's a thing called a beanstalk, which is a giant elevator that goes from Los Angeles into space and acts as a trading hub for a cyber world or not so cyber world. You didn't read any of that?
What are you talking about?
Dude, Netrunner gets deep, son. Yeah, it has crazy fiction. It's called the beanstalk.
Yeah, I guess Android is a whole nother game that has mm-hmm. a crazy fiction world around it, mm-hmm. you know, like a tabletop style game.
Oh, I see.
And then Netrunner is like an offshoot card, you know, collectible card game.
Based in that world.
Based in that world.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's all the cyberpunk you will ever need.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
You get in there pretty deep. But yeah, so we're doing this show. Today's Tuesday. A bunch of stuff just got announced about Assassin's Creed today.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and get all this up and posted before we go to sleep, maybe, which would be unprecedented.
Yeah, it'll be a first. We'll see how it goes.
And probably a last.
If it's shitty, sure to let us know.
Yeah, we're sorry, but this is the way it had to be for Mother Nature and for Netrunner.
Yeah. Netrunner calls.
Yeah, let's talk about Assassin's Creed, because that is the most recent thing that happened and everybody's freaking out about.
Yeah, it's an interesting trailer. I mean, I just watched it recently, you know, as in like maybe 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a feel that feels different, very different from the other Assassin's Creed games.
I guess maybe because the environments are super different, because it's now set in London. It's called Assassin's Creed Syndicate. And apparently now you can whistle. And the other big change is there's like a grappling hook thing.
You wear a hat and you take your hat off and you put your hood on and then you take your hood off and your hat is just magically there again.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Not just any hat. It is a bowler hat, sir, or a top hat.
It's a top hat-ish thing, yeah, not so bowler-ish, but it's very Londonite of the old, like, Jack Ripper era.
I'm sure that you can wear a bowler hat in that game. Also, just throwing this out there, I'm kind of sick of London in games.
What? Right? I was just going to say that this setting makes me interested in Assassin's Creed. I'd love this kind of London.
Did you play The Order?
Yeah.
It was like neo steampunk London.
Yeah. But you know, I love like, I think it's the accents. I like mm-hmm. the like Cockney old timey Londoner accent. I love that.
Look, man, I don't think Assassin's Creed is the go-to franchise for authentic accents. They get all kinds of complaints. I was watching pre-alpha footage today, which doesn't count. But yeah, one of the main characters didn't even have a British accent. He was just talking, and I was like, you're not British. You're probably Canadian or French-Canadian or something.
Is he like the dude in the machine? I don't even know what Assassin's Creed means anymore.
Yeah.
Are you still the dude in the machine in current times playing stuff in old times because of your blood?
Yeah, I think so. The other big difference that I gleaned is that the hero in this game is actually like born and bred assassin, which is a first since the first game, or I guess the second. All the other assassins like stumble into the order or they're like indoctrinated in some weird way. I think in the pirate one, the guy just like happens to kill an assassin, takes his clothes, and then becomes part of the order or whatever. So that stuff.
How come Assassin's Creed have all of them up to, you know, current gen in these crazy graphics times that we live in now, have this kind of like muddy look to the faces of everybody.
I think it's probably a stylistic choice as well. Yeah, probably just style, I would assume. Style, and then also just imagine any open world game, I guess, except for GTA 5, because they crush it.
Yeah, they crushed it.
but you know, any open world game where you've got all this kind of geometry flying around and all these crazy buildings and decals, like, you got to give it to them. It's like a whole new art set, which I'm sure they did what is it, Black Flag, not the band, but that Assassin's Creed game that came out previously. What concerns me, sorry, go ahead.
Black Flag was the Unity, right? Unity, and the Black Flag was
old-gen
version.
You're right. Went Black Flag and Unity, and then there was the other game that came out at the same time. And this game, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, is supposed to come out in October.
Yeah, is that weird to you?
Yeah, it's really soon.
They're always super soon. What are you talking about?
Well, I know that they have teams and they switch off, but it's like, I know they've said things like they're not focusing as much on multiplayer this time around. They're doing all this and that, but I feel like it's just too soon. Like, how do they expect this game to be good, especially after all the backlash that Unity got from like crazy face glitches and all of that stuff?
It doesn't matter. Like, look at Battlefield. People don't give a shit like 6 months down the line. People are going to buy that new, you know, Cops versus Robbers one.
Wait, didn't that already come out?
No, I think it was just in... No, wait, did it come out?
Yeah, Hardline is out, dude. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was thinking of the Rainbow Six dude.
Oh, yeah, Ubisoft's Rainbow Six. Actually, Yves Guillemot came out in a press interview or something and said he's expecting Rainbow Six to be, like, their best-selling shooter of, like, all time. The new Rainbow Six that's coming out. I forget what they're calling it.
It's a Cops and Robbers.
Rainbow Six? Nah, man. It's more. You got to give it more credit than that. Rainbow Six is great. All those old Rainbow Six games. Tom Clancy games are great for the most part. They have a crazy
Battle
sense
Siege.
Of...
Battle Siege. Siege. Siege tanks.
In crazy sense of detail and realism with like pretty solid...
The thing is, you don't do that in this new game.
Oh, really?
No, it's like it's a multiplayer game. It's 5-on-5.
Are you sure you're still not thinking of Hardline?
I'm pretty sure this game is 5-on-5.
Okay.
One is like the attacker, and the other one's like, and there's hostages that you're trying to rescue or prevent from being rescued. I'm not sure. It's 5-on-5.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but you do realize the game is called Rainbow Six, right?
Is it 6-on-6 then? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, probably. It's probably 6-on-6, but you're on the game tap, dude. You know what's up. You probably know better than me at this point in time. I haven't seen anything of Rainbow Six. What did you say it's called? Under Siege? And Steven Seagal's in it?
Yeah.
On a boat. Under There's Siege a girl tanks. That jumps out of a cake.
What?
You know?
Is that
moving on. The other most recent news is something crazy, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about because I know when we see Ryan, whenever we see him, he's going to want to talk about this a lot. But the creator and kind of founder of the Castlevania series, Igarashi, has kickstarted his own spiritual successor to Castlevania.
Yeah. Igavania. What is it called? What did they call it?
Igavania, I guess.
Yeah. Igavania, yeah. You can only have an Igavania if you have one of the... founding fathers of the Castlevania thing.
The new game is called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Bloodstained : Ritual of the Night.
Yeah. Awesome.
Get pumped on that. And also, go watch that Kickstarter video. It's probably one of the raddest Kickstarter videos you've ever seen.
And fully funded in like 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
Crushing their stretch goals.
Last time I looked, they were at like 1.5 million, I think.
Yeah, and they were asking for a modest amount of money in comparison to a lot of the video game stuff that's happening on Kickstarter lately.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of pissing and moaning because
people are dumb.
Yeah, people are really dumb. But essentially, that the Kickstarter is a means to garner interest in another party who's going to invest into the game, but they needed to see that there's capital there or that there's fan interest. Which is common. Like, that's a thing that you need to do as a game developer to get investors interested in your game. And so people are criticizing that Kickstarter, particularly for using people to like leverage that business deal.
I think there might be something in the Kickstarter like terms. I see a lot of other Kickstarters cancel, even though they're funded, because things like this happen where they like get enough attention during their campaign that somebody comes and wants to buy them or fund them, and they have to cancel their thing. But that hasn't happened here yet. I don't know. I wouldn't worry about too much. I think this is going to be rad.
I'm not sure what the stipulations are. I'm definitely going to back that thing just for that Kickstarter video alone.
You haven't already? What kind of fan are you?
Igarashi manifests out of a grave and turns into a bat. It's insane.
Did you see the stuff leading up to this Kickstarter? Mm-mm. Were you aware at all of Whip or Sword? Or Sword or Whip?
Mm-mm. No, sir.
Okay, let me hit the internet real quick. Sword...
Look away from behind
or
the
whip.
Don't look at the man behind the curtain here. I'm just gonna
sword or whip.com.
Distract your ears while Omar does some web digging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so go to sword or whip.com. So this is a thing that happened a few days before the Kickstarter stuff. Maybe even a week. I'm not even sure. I became aware of it late last week. So what you do is you go there, and it's got that same pixel art Igarashi dude chilling on a throne.
Yep, I see it.
And you choose between a sword or a whip.
Uh-huh.
And then you just keep doing that. Keep doing that over and over. And it remembers who you are when you go back, because it's the baffling of the internet.
Holy hell.
It's got a lot of funny dialogue that happens. But this was like, you know, the viral marketing for this thing.
So you just keep refreshing, or do you have to tweet this thing out?
No, you just sit there and wait.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually, if you click on one enough, you become like part of a guild of that one, like a sword guild or whip guild.
Okay.
And you get like a hashtag team name.
I'm guessing this is like a Simon Belmont versus Alucard type of a deal.
Is that what it would be? Sword versus whip?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, Alucard uses swords, and, you know, the Belmonts traditionally use whips to kill vampires. And, you know, Alucard is Dracula spelled backwards. I don't know. Castlevania fiction gets crazy. But, yeah, I imagine it's something like that. But looking at the concept for the character, it looks like she uses a sword in this new Bloodstained Ritual of the Night game. It's a lady, isn't it?
I've already forgotten.
Pretty sure it's a girl. I could be wrong.
Two-player Productions.
Yeah, Two-player Productions is involved with this as well.
But, how do you feel about them now? Enough of them already?
You're sick of them? Are you just jelly, bro? Because you work in video production and
I don't get
to go to cool studios and
you don't get invited to make documentaries of rad things that happen on the internet?
I know.
In video games?
It bums me out too, but it's rad. I think they're pretty awesome to be able to do what they do, and they do a pretty decent job. You know, they did all the Double Fine stuff. They've made some pretty slick documentaries, and they continue to do good work. And, you know, you can't fault anybody for that, really.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, though. You're a little bit fatigued. But who else
No, good for them. I was just kidding. But, like, yeah, the artwork, this Kickstarter, I mean, this is all just concept art.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks rad.
Yeah, I
mean, it's not so much, it's like sprite, it looks like sprite-based, you know, but it's
2.5D is the term there.
Yeah.
And they go into why they picked that style. Generally not my favorite, but this game looks pretty sick. And also that new Mega Man game, that Keiji Inafune? What is his first name? I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person. Inafune's Mighty Number 9 is also 2.5D. So it's weird to see like these luminaries, like the old school luminaries coming out, not being able to get the support from their publisher, of which these games are known for, in this case Konami particularly.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk about Konami in a minute.
Yeah, no, I think we should just get right into it, because it's a direct correlation of them actually saying on the Kickstarter, like, hey, I wanted to make this game while I was at Konami, but they wouldn't let me. They said there was no interest, and then boom, I've got a $1.5 million in 2 days. So eat it, Konami, I guess.
Yeah, eat a dick.
Totally. And man, and I mean, on top of this Kojima stuff, because it's pretty much what's going to happen to Kojima too, right? Like, they're basically chasing everybody out of that place.
Yeah, purposely though. So if you're not aware yet, there was a thing on the internet from a guy called Super Bunny, Super Bunny Hop, or something like that.
Yep.
He put this video out a couple of weeks ago. They actually got taken down by Konami, but it's been recently re-released on the YouTubes.
Uh-huh.
But it had all this kind of insider knowledge of like what's happening internally at Konami and why all of this shit is happening,
right?
And why we're seeing it. And you know, I guess we're lucky that Kojima is such a big name, and there were so many big things tied to him in the like currently that it brought all this stuff to light. But like we kind of speculated on this stuff before. Konami is not going to be making video games.
Yeah,
they're about that, like, you know, pachinko money.
Yeah, I feel like we were really close.
Our
guesstimations, I think, were really close to what this guy is saying, and maybe it's kind of where everybody's kind of just kind of naturally arrived. But just me particularly expressing, you know, worry for the kind of capital franchises of Konami and what's going to happen to them as they are turned into like pachinko games and gambling machines, right? Like that was part of this guy's video that he put in there.
Slot machines.
Yeah, like Contra slot machines,
yeah,
basically.
Like just in Vegas, slot machines.
So as a game creator, I could see Kojima being really pissed off by that, like having Solid Snake's face on like a gambling machine, which it seems kind of funny and like fitting, but at the same time, like if this is your life's work and like these characters mean a lot to you, you don't want to see them like peddled out there for that type of entertainment, maybe. And this was another thing that I kind of guessed at early on, is that it was probably the split is something that happened on Kojima's side, like as an auteur, something offended him, and maybe that's why he decided to kind of like stand his ground, and then that's where like Konami either pulled the plug or decided to be really trite with all this nonsense about pulling his names off of boxes and things.
Yeah, I mean, there does seem like some of that where he got in a fight with somebody, but it's from the news in that YouTube video, it's happening to everybody who works at Konami.
Yeah,
like all of their big players over there are all getting shuffled around different offices, having to move. Like they're basically doing like, you know, like it's the equivalent of blasting shitty music at like some warlord in a locked in a building somewhere, like just trying to get them to give up by making their lives living hells.
Yeah,
at work, and they're just getting them to all quit so they don't have to fire them or give them severance or something, you know.
Yeah, what a bummer. It seems really, really terrible. Whatever's going on over there, it's not going to end well. And I think a lot of people are going to be pissed once MGS5 comes out, and Kojima, you know, maybe he won't be allowed to necessarily say exactly what happened, but I'm sure a lot of things are going to come to light once that stuff kind of comes through.
Yeah, I mean, they have that stuff in that video, like saying that they shunted him off instead of being an employee at Konami and his studio. Mm-hmm. He became a contract employee.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what we've kind of been hearing and understood from, I think it was like a GameFormer informant or something had come up and had said something similar to that. And that's like, I think where how people are able to kind of naturally land in the same place, that Konami might not be in the AAA game development business. I've heard other rumors that Konami had just planned on pulling console versions of these games, like not making console versions anymore, and that might have been something that took Kojima off. That doesn't seem like super likely to me, but something similar along those lines. Like I had originally guessed like a release date for Metal Gear Solid 5 or something, but that no, seems way off now. Like
nothing about what's going on in this thing seems like it's Kojima pulling any kind of thing, like saying I'm going to leave if this happens. This looks like he's getting pushed out regardless of what he wants to do,
which is nuts.
But I mean that, and it's not just him. Like he might be the biggest name over there and the most, like get the most notoriety for what's happening to him. But everybody who works there, who is making the soccer game,
Pro Evolution Soccer, and
or
then
Dance
the
Dance
game.
Revolution, yeah. Or if there's another Castlevania game being made, I doubt if there's even one even started.
Oh yeah, I really doubt it. That last Castlevania did really poorly.
Yeah, all of those people are all getting pushed out, in a, not just Kojima.
So I wonder if that means we won't see another Metal Gear Rising, you know?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, unless they continue to license the IP out to other studios.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a Platinum Games joint, so we'll see. And that's kind of all arranged through Kojima, right?
But they don't they don't just get to make them forever now.
Right. But I mean, if you were going to have somebody do a sequel, logically, you would go to the same people who have the same like code base, what the game is based on, and you know, all of that. And who knows like who owns what necessarily in that relationship, like however that contract went down. But yeah, man, it's crazy. Konami is done with games.
Done with video games.
Just at least it seems that way.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't just seem that way. It seems it's pretty certain now.
Yeah,
they are out of the video game. Like MGS 5 is going to be the last hurrah, and then after that, they're just making they're making their health clubs and their pachinko games. And that's it. Making all them Yakuza monies.
Right. One other story did spin out of this, which I thought was really interesting, or is tangentially related, where Guillermo del Toro was working on Silent Hills, right? And of course, we know that that thing got canned. However, there was an employee on LinkedIn, who I believe works for his production company, who said that he was working on a Fallout 4 trailer in his LinkedIn profile.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that kind of came through, and people were like, oh, there's a Fallout 4? Which we kind of already knew. Bethesda's throwing their own press event, own keynote at E3 this year. They wouldn't do that without some really big flagship titles, and that's either
got
to be...
Well, they got that MMO they just put out.
Well, Elder Scrolls Online has been around for a while, and it's news that it's coming to consoles, but that's not as big as a Skyrim or a Fallout 3, which these games are really, really well-loved and really, really well-received by the games press. So you know it's got to be one of those major franchises. Of course, they've also got Doom, you know, and something else, I think.
Wait, what happened to that Doom?
Doom 4?
Remember, like a year ago now, they had that private event?
At QuakeCon?
Yeah, and at QuakeCon, and they showed Doom, but it didn't ever make it onto the internet.
No, I saw it. I've seen the video. It's not long, not gameplay, but there's a teaser trailer. So I imagine we'll see some of that at E3.
Yeah, they got to see gameplay or something. There was some big thing that they all got to see that didn't leave the QuakeCon.
Yeah, so it looks like Guillermo del Toro will probably never make a video game, but they probably are working on this crazy E3 trailer that we're going
to
see.
Yeah, and you know, the truth is Guillermo del Toro has really nothing to do with this company. He's just a founding member of this production company.
Murata or whatever.
Yeah.
What is it called? Yeah. Well, that's cool, but I think that's kind of most of the loose ends with Konami until MGS5 actually comes out. Or somebody steps forward and says, like, here's what's actually happening.
It's pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's within the next 2 months for sure.
I know that there's a bunch of people playing that game. They're, like, doing a press weekend of it or something somewhere.
Yeah, I saw people tweeting about that.
Yeah, so, you know, that game is there, getting played. I still hold out hope maybe that it's all a big troll. That would be really funny.
Yeah.
Seems really unlikely now. Yeah, growing more and more unlikely, but it still would be pretty funny.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way that, like, between all of the PR people who are involved and, like, different emails and screenshots of emails we've seen and all the sort of, there's no way that this could be, like, this is way too elaborate and, like, it's got...
Well, it's just too nasty.
Yeah, and it's too nasty, for sure. There's nothing playful about it, really, at
all. Yeah.
I guess as long as we're talking about stuff showing up at E3, there was a tweet that went out today of what I'm assuming is Reggie Fils-Aimé in a Little Mac pink jumpsuit, and with a tweet caption of who's training for E3 2015, and then it was like, find out tomorrow, 9 p.m. Standard time.
Pacific 9 p.m.? Time?
Yeah, 9 a.m., sorry, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And we're going to talk about everything we're going to show at E3, which seems really counterintuitive and crazy, because why not just wait for E3? It's only a month and a half away. It's June in 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, because this is Nintendo's thing. Because everyone is on that tip now, where Nintendo had the day before, like, everyone talk about Nintendo for a day or a week or whatever it was last year. Like,
now they want the whole month before.
Yeah, you got to do it earlier and earlier, because everyone else is going to be doing the same thing.
And let me tell you, I've been keeping my ear to the ground. So much talk about Nintendo right now.
What? Why?
Just so much talk. It's just, they're around every single corner. Oh, man. Yoshi amiibos are so adorable. And Nintendo profits are up. And, you know, NX this, NX that. NX might be region free. Dude, just so many Nintendo stories coming out right now.
I am not going to listen to a single NX rumor for at least 2 years.
How about this one? Nintendo is not going to talk about the NX until 2016.
Yeah, the thing is not, it's not a thing. It's not a thing yet.
Hey, man,
people need to chill out.
I got
to
give you credit. You were the one who said it could be as early as 2016 that we see that thing. And I strongly disagreed with you because I thought it would be way too soon. But you know what? Maybe we will. Maybe we'll see.
It might be too soon because, look, Nintendo is profitable. Something's happening. Something's happening with that Wii U.
Yeah.
Or maybe not the Wii U and something else is helping, but something's happening.
Sure, I think 3DS, the 3DS is doing exceptionally well. You know, Mario Kart 8 is doing really, really well, almost twice as well as Smash Brothers, which also is doing pretty incredible. So that's insane. And yeah, I guess they're not out, but they certainly need to show that that thing is going to be viable in 2016. Oh, also the Twitter picture of what I assume is Reggie Fils-Aimé in a pink hoodie would imply that they're going to announce a Punch-Out game.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Punch-Out, for some reason, is in the public consciousness right now.
Yes, because he's in Smash Brothers. He was the most fun character to play ever, and he's also the worst character in the game. So I was hoping that they would just be teasing an announcement that they're going to fix him and make him better. Because right
What's
now,
broken?
He can't jump back to the ledge worth a damn. He can't. He can kill himself instantly. You can kill Little Mac in like three throws, basically. You can't stop anybody from hurting you. He has no air game. He's my favorite character. He's also the most broken character, and it bums me out to no end. It's so sad, the fate of Little Mac. And I think it's a lot to do with everybody crying about how OP he was in the beginning of the launch of Smash Brothers for Wii U and for 3DS. But you know what? I thought he was pretty
rad. How did
he
go from overpowered to the worst character?
He did get nerfed, but I think even before then, his recovery is really, really bad. His side B move, basically...
Would they literally put out a patch to change the way he played?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, almost immediately. Within the first 2 weeks of the game's launch, there was a lot of people on forums and stuff really complaining, giving Lil Mac the business. But there was nothing wrong with him. He was totally fine. And I think... But even then, people kind of had started figuring out like how to gimp him. I guess that's not like an appropriate term to use, and I apologize. I don't know. You could find a way to like cheese Little Mac into, you know, his death, basically, keeping him from getting back to the ledge. And essentially, as a Little Mac player, your job is to stand in the middle and take as little damage as possible until you get a KO punch, and then use that KO punch for a free kill. I don't know. I could talk about Smash strategies and technical aspects forever.
Oh, I know. Sat in a car listening to talk about Smash hours.
That's not my fault. Steve asked me questions, and I answered them.
I didn't know that they were doing balancing patching in Smash Brothers. I thought it is what it is.
Totally. But the thing is, they're not releasing patch notes for it. So people are out there like in communities like figuring out what's different by going into training mode and then testing all the moves for every single character to see what's different. There's also another way to tell when they do those patch updates, your replays won't work anymore. Because you know how they do like replays in fighting games, right?
Yeah. They just like take the data and then recreate it or something.
Yeah, they take the data and recreate it. But once you patch the game, all the data is different, right? So the match wouldn't play out properly. So the replays are totally broken. So you can look at the replays and see which of your replays are broken and then be like, oh, this character probably got changed.
How often is this happening?
So far, it's been about every couple of months, maybe every 3 months or 4 months. It's only happened like two or three times since the launch of the game, way back in what, December or...
way back in December? It like is November. May.
That's like 6 months, right? It's half a year.
Half a year. Way back.
It seems like a long time ago.
That's crazy. I had no idea that they were doing that. I thought Nintendo couldn't do that kind of thing or something. I thought it would like take an entire system update for a game to get updated.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I think that's why a lot of people feel like the new Smash Brothers will usurp Melee, even though there's a lot of people playing it still. But yeah, that is your Smash Brothers minute or hour. I don't know how long we've been talking.
Smash Brothers time goes by real quick.
Every second counts. Is there anything else you want to talk about from this week? Oh, I know. There is something relevant and bewitching.
Oh, nice. The Witcher 3 is about to come out?
Yeah, it's about to come out in, what, the 19th?
It's like a couple days.
Yeah, a couple days.
Get those pre-orders in, son.
Yeah,
perfect game, according to multiple websites.
It's already up to like over a million pre-orders, so you'd just be a drop in the bucket at this point.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Man, those Witcher games, like that studio has such a following. It's unbelievable.
Have you played a Witcher game?
I have. They're fucking long.
Yeah, but they're so detailed, like incredible open worlds, just so much depth in like all the craziness that they add. I've read some of that fiction and it's fantastic. I mean, I enjoy it. And man, I keep trying to pick those games up, but they just take so long. I don't have a machine that will like run it in a way that I would want to play it.
Oh, you're up on the PC game, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I would want to, but it just doesn't run well on a Mac. So I'd have to like figure out how to buy a PC or build a PC just for Witcher 3.
Console versions of those games.
They are, but you know, it's not the same. Like the Xbox version is very, very comparable. It's like very great from what I've read. But it's like static lighting versus dynamic lighting, you know, just like crazy things like that. And I would want to appreciate those games the way they were built.
Yeah, because I mean, the CD Projekt Red prides themselves on being a PC developer mm-hmm. who puts out games on consoles when need be.
Yeah, they're like the new Crytek in some ways. Remember when Crytek, or what was that game?
Crysis.
Crysis was like that game that was like the benchmark for PCs.
Yeah, like no PC in the world could play this video game.
That was their claim to fame. Yeah. I think Witcher is that now, except they also are, you know, providing some serious optimization. It's part of why they pushed the game so far. And, you know, it's finally coming out. So what's probably going to end up happening is I'm going to spend like the next 5 days on a wiki reading everything I can about The Witcher so I can just jump into 3, or else I'm never going to start playing them.
I've heard that this one you can jump in. I've heard that they do a good job of like making sure you understand who the characters are before you get in, so you don't have to go back. Also, they pushed this game like 3 times, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It got delayed multiple times, and apparently good on them because they came out and they're getting perfect scores all over the place.
And this just makes me even more excited for Cyberpunk, which is that Cyberpunk game that they're making. You should be a fan, as you are a fan of Netrunner.
Yeah, I still don't know what you're talking about.
Go look at the trailer. It looks sick, dude. It's going to be amazing. It's based off a board game, actually. And it's just going to be amazing. Like the degree of quality and love that goes into these CD Projekt Red games is unparalleled by many developers. Like I would put them up there with somebody who cares as much about craft as like a Blizzard or I don't know. I guess Supergiant Games it would be another good example, but they're much smaller scale. But yeah, just put a lot of care into that stuff, and it really, really shows in the tech. It makes me proud to be like, yeah, it's a video game.
There's 2077.
Yeah, 2077. Oh, is that the name of the game?
Oh, yeah, Cyberpunk 2077?
Yeah, that's probably it. There's a couple of throwaway stories while you're checking that out. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 got announced at some point during last week, which nobody really seems to care about.
Yeah, because who cares about Tony Hawk anymore? The dude, like, the last time everyone got all jazzed on Tony Hawk coming out, they ended up being a fucking cell phone game.
Yeah, and also that Robotoki game where you use the deck to like do real tricks and stuff did not pan out well for them. And also, it's the same studio.
That was way too late in the Tony Hawk
in the peripheral
whatever,
like third party peripherals. Like people were sick of Plastic Instruments, so they didn't want plastic skateboards either.
Tony Hawk developed itself on being like a arcade skateboarding game that you could do crazy combos with on a controller.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody wanted to stand on a plastic skateboard and try to do kickflips.
I can't play Ollie Ollie because of all of the Tony Hawk that I played. Like it is.
What do you mean?
Impossible.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It is
all.
Like as close to you can get right now to the way Tony Hawk Hawk feel.
No, not Ollie even Ollie. Close. Not even close, dude.
What are you talking about?
Ollie Ollie is a lot closer to Skate than it is to Tony Hawk. You cannot.
I never
like,
played Skate.
Oh man, it is a lot different. There's no like. In Tony Hawk, there's no like doing flip tricks with analog sticks. Like that's not how you play Tony Hawk. And like the way you grind and the way it's just like the way you ollie, I guess that really throws me off. I try to play ollie ollie for like 2 or 3 hours, and I can't get out of the habit of like the way that I push the X button in a Tony Hawk game.
You definitely have to like train yourself to play ollie ollie, and I agree.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing that you have to get used to doing, because you want to hit X to jump, mm-hmm. obviously,
mm-hmm.
but you have to hit X to land. And that is strange.
Yeah.
But once you figure it out, Ollie Ollie, it gives you that endorphin rush, the like endless trick you know, madness that Tony Hawk 2 yeah. and 3 were. You know?
I could see that. Yeah, I could agree with you there. I think there is definitely a sense to like creating these combos, and in Ollie Ollie 2, like doing those manuals to get through to the next like grind rail or ramp or whatever. Yeah, there's just some weird stuff there. It's just particularly that Ollie button, like in the way that doing Ollie's works, just I can't get out of my muscle memory of Tony Hawk games. Because once I get going, then I start like thinking I'm playing Tony Hawk and then try and jump the way I would in Tony Hawk, and it just ruins my multiplayer. So I got through quite a few levels and did some challenges, but yeah. Man, do you see those Portal 2 Lego set stuff?
No. Explain this to me.
We talked about Dimensions before, remember?
Right,
it's like
yeah.
the NFC chip-based Lego toys that they're making.
Did they have pictures of what the toys actually look like?
Yeah, totally. They do. And they look like Portal 2 toys. And they do like creative things with the portals. I guess there's going to be like a Jurassic Park version and like some other licensed stuff, which is crazy. I guarantee you we'll see like a Marvel thing at some point. Or maybe not because of Disney Infinity. But
oh yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, there's companion cubes. They're literally cubes, I guess, in Lego form, and the little robots that sing, you know, at the end. Spoilers.
The
turrets.
The turrets. Yeah. So these are actually little toys. These mm-hmm. are basically little toys. These are not building blocks, like we wished for, but knew wasn't possible, I guess.
Yeah, but it looks like you could probably build stuff with them. It looks like they have a base, and you put that probably on top of another base or like a portal or whatever it is. But yeah, it looks like there's going to be Jurassic Park ones and Scooby-Doo.
Doctor Who,
which seems odd. Originally, these leaked.
Back to the Future.
Out of like a Walmart catalog or something. Like that wasn't supposed to be released yet. And somebody took a picture of it and sent it. But then I think they officially came out and said, yeah, we're working on these.
So yeah, I mean, it looks like every other toy to life game that we have.
Yeah, except they're Lego toys.
Except for the Lego toys. And the games will be funnier because they're Lego people and they explode and do funny things. But it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be Disney Infinity, the toy box version of Disney Infinity, but Legos.
Oh, probably with DC stuff because it's a Warner Brothers thing. There probably is some correlation there, I'm sure.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, DC's got to get in that game.
Yeah, and also, you know, Warner Brothers makes all of those Lego games, Warner Brothers Interactive, like all the Lego Batmans and Lego Indiana Jones, and they're making Dimensions, I'm pretty sure. So,
do they make all those games?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's crazy. I was checking it out the other day. I applied for a job, and I was like, oh, yeah, they make all of this. On top of, like...
I thought there was some weird studio, like... I hate not being able to think of things that I know that I know.
I know this. Come on, brain. Go on.
Hold. Just give me a sec. It's like TT or something like that.
TT. Well, at the very least, I know that the DC Lego games are made by Warner Brothers Interactive, and I bet you they make a few more than that. But that's cool. I think Dimensions will be cool. People will be pumped on it. But I don't know. I think I'm out of stories. I feel like we can backed. An entire
episode. TT Games.
Okay, go on. What do they make?
They make the Lego games.
Which ones?
The all of them.
Is that not a studio inside of Warner Brothers?
I think Warner Brothers might be a publisher, and the studio making the games is TT Games.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good call. Yeah, Warner Brothers Interactive is indeed a publisher.
Booyah. So, I knew stuff.
So do you think that TT Games is owned by them, or are they like a third party?
I have no idea.
Okay, we've reached the extent of our Lego game knowledge.
Yeah, that's the extent of my TT knowledge. I know TT stands for something. It's like,
it does.
Tail Travelers or something. Mm-hmm. Traveler's Tales or something like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So The Witcher 3.
There's some TTs in that game, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. We've reached that point, I think. I think we've reached... Oh, Jesus.
Peak TT.
Yeah, there we go. I think we've reached... Shit! I think we've reached Picks of the Week.
Picks of the TTs.
Oh, man. I thought we were free. Omar, do you have a Pick of the Week?
I do. And I can't remember if I picked it last time, though.
Go on and I'll tell you.
Westerado.
Oh, no, yeah. I've had that as my Pick of the Week before, but I realized they just released a new version on Steam that's not browser-based.
Oh, that was a browser-based game before?
Totally.
Oh, yeah. It's an Adult Swim game. Obviously, yeah, it was.
It's an
that
adult
game
swim
is
game.
Really funny.
I played the crap out of that. It's hard. It's a little bit hard, at least the one that I played.
I mean, it's like, I guess it's kind of hard. It's hard because it has limited movement stuff or mm-hmm. shooting mechanics, but...
Well, also, if you shoot fools and they shoot you back...
Yeah,
you
they get real
quick.
Pissed at you. If you shoot the wrong person, the entire world gets real pissed at you.
Yeah.
But, like, it is really funny. Mm. You are a... It's, like, super lo-fi pixel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is Zelda-like map thing, you know, like, it's grid-based.
Yep.
Top down, and you can shoot only sideways, but you can move one, you know, up, down, left, right.
Oh, yeah.
But the premise of the story is you're a dude, you wake up, I guess, and your family has been murdered, and your farm, or your barn?
Yeah, it's like a farm barn. It's
yeah,
like a farm,
farm barn
and a
got
barn.
Burned down, and your family got killed, and then you're out for vengeance.
Yeah, you meet up with your uncle or something.
Yeah, your uncle. Yeah. And funny, there's a funny thing that I saw in a video of the game that I didn't actually do in my own, but you can kill your uncle, but your uncle is pretty essential to the story of the game.
Yes.
So he just turns into a ghost, and he floats over his body, and he continues to talk to him, like, as if nothing happened, but he's a ghost now.
Oh, man, that's a really funny way to get around that.
It's a really funny way not to break the game.
Yeah.
But you just go around the town, you ask people questions, you'd like fill in your knowledge of what the bad guy is supposed to look like. So your wanted poster in your like menu slowly like coalesces into a single picture.
That's right, yeah.
And then you can find that person in the world. And they're just walking around somewhere and you got to find them, identify them, shoot them.
Yeah, that game is great.
And there's there's all kinds of like, not I mean, that's like your main objective, right? Is find the bad guy, kill him or her, I guess. But you know, you got to find that. But there's all these side missions and you can like help some lady get her drunk husband out of the saloon and back home. Or you can like clear bad guys out of the mine so people can go back to work.
This game crushes Red Dead Redemption, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Fuck that game.
Oh, man.
Westerado's really good.
It's really good. And it was, I think it might have been $10. I'm just blown away by Adult Swim Studio stuff.
Hmm.
It's almost always awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a lot of hit and miss stuff, but they usually come out with something that's pretty creative and awesome. I mean, they did Robot Unicorn and some other crazy stuff that probably wouldn't assume they did.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you've been playing on phones and computers and web that you don't realize is an Adult Swim joint.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I have a pick of the week.
Yeah, what is it?
My pick of the week. I actually have two picks of the week.
What?
Yeah, it's and neither of which is really a game or a comic.
What?
Get this. I saw a post on Kotaku the other day where somebody had devised a way to play Mega Man X and Mega Man X 2 at the same time with one controller and then beat both games simultaneously.
Oh my. What?
Yeah, it's impressive and totally amazing.
Wait, but are they... Does that mean that the games are exactly the same? What
no.
does that even mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, I was trying to wrap my brain around it, and then you watch the video for a little while, and you're like, wow, this is really impressive. Where sometimes, yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wait, does that mean all the levels are the same, or there's, like, correlations between some levels? And sometimes they do. They, like, correlate a little bit. Like, he's jumping up steps, and in both levels there's steps. But he probably had to figure out that both of those levels had steps at that point in time. And then also... there's a whole nother layer, like once you start realizing like how this dude is figuring it out, or girl, I'm not sure if it was a dude or a girl, I only saw like the gameplay, you'll see him like run and jump and fight a thing on one game, and in the meantime, like if he's like fighting an enemy in X2, like in X he's like running around, like just like jumping around in space and like shooting randomly, what seems. But then, like, once he gets through, then they, like, kind of both progress at the same time. And then it trades off where, like, sometimes he's focusing more on one game. But the thing is, he has to focus on not dying in both. So
yeah.
Sometimes he'll be doing that, and there'll be a pit in X and an enemy in X2. So he's fighting the enemy in X2, but also trying not to fall in the pit in X1. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
it's
that's
amazing.
Crazy. It's like those people who play, is it Ikaruga in the...
Yeah.
And they play both players.
Both players at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. Except this is two different games, which is like blows my mind. Yeah,
yeah, that's even crazier.
It's like speedruns to a whole new level.
Yeah, that's sorry. That no, I mean that deserves a little bit more awe, I think. The guy said, or girl, is a maniac. Whoever is doing that, they are maniacs.
That is really fantastic. Yeah, I really got a kick out of watching that. Like a boss fight too. Oh man,
I can't even imagine what your brain is doing to be able to compute all of that stuff happening at the same time.
Yeah, and like how much time did it take you to figure out what levels are best to play? Because you know, in Mega Man X, you choose your order, like what levels you want to go to.
How do you even choose different levels?
So yeah, you're stuck to, oh, I guess like you could, like, okay, so you know how you have your like grid of 8 or whatever, and sometimes it's just 4? So you can move the cursor in one, but if it doesn't recycle through, like if it gets stuck on one side, you could push forward, and the cursor would be stuck in one game, but then it would move forward in the other. You know what I mean?
I think I know what you mean, but it doesn't seem... I don't know.
Watch the video and you'll see. Watch the video and you'll see. Because he does that a lot to get like through hard parts or areas and things. And there's like certain rules that he put up or she put up in the beginning of the YouTube video. Like, here's the rules that I played by, and like not staying in like certain safe zones for too long and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's crazy and brutal when you see him like go off a screen and come back and enemies come back, and then he has to like deal with the thing all over again sometimes. So that's nuts. My other pick of the week, though, is something that I think adds a little salt to injury or is like super applaudable. The dudes from Goat Simulator took it upon themselves to add Kojima and Silent Hills to the credits of Goat Simulator. So they added Hideo Kojima's name and Silent Hills to the credits of Goat Simulator because Kojima's name has been removed from other Metal Gear stuff.
Yeah, and then not only that, but they put the thing, please bring it back. Please.
Oh man. Just what, that's a classy move, you know? It's like you see your buddy is down and you're like, "Hey, this guy's one of us. You know what? Your company's not going to let you put your name on your game. Come over here, we'll put your name on our game." Yeah. That's fantastic.
I am super interested to see what happens in 5, because usually the opening of a Metal Gear game has about, you know, the 5 minutes of credits and stuff. And half of those credits are Kojima.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's
like
true.
Director, producer, writer, something else, this, that. Like, all of these Kojimas keep floating through the screen.
I wonder if they're working on putting some, like, cryptic stuff in there that's going to ship with the master. Like, it's probably already gone gold, right? But I wonder if they put some stuff. And, you know, there's all these funny theories about, like, how the Metal Gear series are analogous to Kojima's life, which I always, like, have a really, really fun time reading. Where it's like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, like how Solid Snake doesn't want to be on the battlefield anymore, but like he keeps getting dragged back in, and so like he's Kojima basically. Like, yeah, it's really fun if you read into that stuff, and it's super silly. So we'll see. Who knows? I'll be looking for that kind of stuff for sure.
I just I was playing 3, but I gave up.
Why?
Because I'm weak at video games.
Why did you give up?
But then the, you know, Giant Bombs did their Metal Gear Scanlan, played through 3, and I watched the first part of it, and seeing the opening credits again,
yeah,
you know, like that James Bond,
it's so good.
Oh man, it is so ridiculous but amazing.
Yeah, I think 3 is my favorite. I think 3 is my favorite for sure. I really, really like that game.
Yeah, I need to give it another shot. I got really frustrated with the lack of strategy that I had established in the first 2 games because of the radar and stuff.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I also tranquilize everybody.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can trank everybody, but like, there's also that thing is like, I don't want to have all these things equipped all the time because my battery's going to run out, so I don't know if there's a dude around this corner or not for sure, you know?
Yeah, you can always run for it.
Yeah,
I guess. Just yell YOLO and run really quickly and equip a machine gun.
And then, you know, and then they add the third countdown timer.
Yeah.
A lot of things will frustrate you if you're streamlining your way through those games.
Yeah. I could see that.
All right.
Well, I guess that's going to do it, huh?
Yeah, that'll be it.
another Indestructible Art episode in the bank. You know, 186 of these things, and they ain't getting any easier.
I apologize for the extra noise on my end.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a rough cut this week, and we thank you for sticking through it. You got plenty of podcasts to listen to, but for some reason you keep listening to ours, and that makes you, that literally makes you
indestructible. Yeah, yeah. It literally makes you indestructible.
Totally. You can reach out to us at by emailing podcast@indestructible.com or hit us up on Twitter at @pixelstopanels, and you know, we'll get back at you for sure. And that's
a little
it.
Bit backwards, but all right.
Yeah, no, I was trying to switch it up a little bit, you know, put my own spin on it and see what happened. We'll see you guys next week.